This summer, as the world watches the pitch, Raising Cane's is serving up the best matches all tournament long, like chicken fingers and cane sauce.
Goal!
No matter who you're rooting for this summer, kick it with Cane's for the games. One love.
Wake up, Lincoln.
I overslept. Damn rooster didn't crow.
It's time for Early Break. Sponsored by Pinnacle Bank. Live from Lincoln, America. Here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
I'm wrong, but I'm not.
Husker Online, Steve Sipple.
If I were a feral cat.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
You get one team. Mine's the Houston Oilers. I'm not the Texans, and I'm not the Titans, so I'm out.
This is Early Break.
Welcome back to Hour 2 on a Tuesday. Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen with you, Bill Bush out this week. Hour 2 sponsored by our friends at Pinnacle Bank. We have a special mortgage promotion going on right now for the Breakers now through the end of this month, June 30th. When you apply for a mortgage loan or a home refi and close with Chris Lauer, Adam Lindsen, or Marlon Lyon at Pinnacle Bank, you'll get a golf package at Tatanka Golf Club. That's a round of golf for four, cart rentals, and a one-night, two-room hotel stay at Ohia Casino there on the premises. Or $250 towards your closing costs. Please call Chris, Adam, or Marlon at 402-436-2462. The number again, 402-436-2462. Mention code Breakers, Pinnacle Bank member FDIC, equal housing lender.
All right, there you go.
Well, usually when we have the Marty party, it's talking about, you know, fun stuff in life and going back to being in the Hall of Fame at Columbus.
The Columbus.
We'll have some fun with him, but we are joined for the first time in months by Marty Sipple, Sip's brother, of course, attorney in Tallahassee, Florida. Marty, good morning. It's a pleasure to see you once again.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How's he sound?
Does he sound okay? He's all right. It'll work.
Sound okay?
Yeah.
Make sure your speaker's all ready.
He's
to
good
roll.
To go. I can hear Marty. He's
good
fine.
Morning.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Good morning, Marty. How are you?
Good morning.
Is the proper reaction to the Sorsby news, loaded question. Is the proper reaction outrage?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's stunning. I would say it's stunning. What I wanted to say about this is a couple things. One is it reminds me of the movie Rocky, where Apollo Creed gets knocked down in the first round, stunningly. The NCAA is Apollo Creed, okay?
Okay.
It doesn't mean it's over. It's a long fight.
Okay.
And this is just a round one of the fight. And I did some reading last night.
Okay.
And it appears to me that the NCAA has already filed a notice of appeal.
They did.
And has asked for accelerated treatment, which tells me that they're going to ask the Court of Appeals to stay the Judge Curry's order and keep Mr. Sorsby ineligible during the appeal.
That will be
the skirmish to watch. That will be and that can be decided within, you know, days or weeks prior to the start of practice, I would say.
Marty, you know, maybe I'm just obviously biased in this, but it seems like there's only one group of people that wants Sorsby to play, and that's Texas Tech fan. The whole country is saying, how can this even be discussed? How is this even still, how did an injunction allow him right now at this point the chance to play with a two-game suspension? How are we even at this point, knowing how this has gone in the history of time, Marty, with gambling and sports?
Well, you thought if there was one bright line, it was gambling. That's what you thought. And you thought that you know, the whole system could come tumbling down if people don't think these games are on the level. I'll give the lawyer for Sorsby credit. The way he framed the argument was that the NCAA Constitution says you can't discriminate against players on the basis of mental illness. And that he basically has an addiction. He has an addiction to gambling, and you can't discriminate against him based on that. You've got to support him. And I mean, I think that's you know, crazy, to be honest. But that was the way he framed the argument, and he persuaded at least one judge to go with him on that argument. Okay. I don't think it'll hold up.
Okay, we got to go back to the skirmish that you mentioned.
Yeah.
Because I did tell Jake earlier, yes, there's an injunction, and it temporarily allows for Sorsby to play. Now, the skirmish, again, is between whom?
Well, it's between the NCAA and Sorsby. But as what you said, right now the judge has said Sorsby's eligible, okay?
Right.
But only on a temporary basis, okay? And that decision is immediately appealable to the Court of Appeals.
Right.
And the NCAA is going to go up to the Court of Appeals and ask them to do two things.
Uh-huh.
One is to stop it in the short term, and number two is ultimately to reverse it. But the skirmish to watch is the first one, the stay. If the Court of Appeals stays Judge Curry's order, then that means Sorsby will remain ineligible during the appeal, which probably means he doesn't play this year.
What is your prediction? Okay. Will Sorsby play a game this year? The way you judge this current situation, will he play a game?
I predict no.
I think
the Court of Appeals will stay it, and then the appeal will drag on through the season, and he won't play a game this season. That's my prediction.
Okay, interesting. Well, now that's where you got to let the system play.
I'm hoping it works out like that, because we talked about Marty, that if he is allowed to play when all is said and done, he does play for Texas Tech after a two-game suspension. We're talking about every single play is going to be criticized or critiqued, saying, "Oh, right. did this have money on it?" Because that's the situation we're in, and that's just not healthy for anybody at any level of sports, whether you're playing it or watching it. That type of cynicism is just—it's not good for anybody involved.
No, and it was somewhat—I don't say somewhat surprising to me that Dannon and I think the Georgia athletic director both came out yesterday and said, "Don't schedule Texas Tech." Which was pretty strong, I thought. I mean, that was a pretty strong reaction. And I think that the ramifications of this, and it goes into the pros too. I mean, you cannot have players betting on games. You just cannot have players betting on games. Now, what Sorsby's lawyer will say is he only bet on two games while he was at Indiana, and only two football games. And they were for Indiana to win, so it wasn't all that bad.
Right. Come on.
But where do you draw the line?
You go back to Pete Rose. Pete Rose apparently only bet on the Reds to win, and he got lifetime banned.
Right.
So everybody thought this was a bright line that you couldn't cross, and you know this judge in Texas has really blurred that line significantly. We'll see what happens.
He has blurred the line significantly, but it almost seems, based on what you're telling us, is it's just temporary. That you're essentially saying trust the system, right?
Yes.
And yes,
that's why we have courts of appeals is to review this, and I think that it will get ultimately corrected. I do think it will get corrected.
In time for the opener.
That's the key. That's the key. This whole game is timing right now. Mm-hmm. And I've been down this road before.
Okay.
With the events in the real world are going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the courts famously move very slowly. Okay.
Right.
And so what you worry about here is that this appeal drags on and the season happens, and then, in next February, they somehow rule that Sorsby shouldn't have been allowed to play, but, hey, it's too late now.
It's
all the games have been played. So you've got to the whole game right now is a stay, because a stay can get decided fairly quickly in a matter of weeks. And so he still could be deemed ineligible and not put on a jersey for practice.
And there are, I kind of alluded to this earlier, there are judges that don't exist in the world of sport. They don't think about the ramifications of their their rulings, right? They're not. They shouldn't probably think of the ramifications, right?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I mean, there's three things that Sorsby had to prove in order to get this injunction.
Okay.
One was that he was likely to win the case, and that was the that was the mental illness or addiction argument. Mm-hmm. The second was that he would have irreparable harm if he didn't get a play.
Right.
And that's his argument was that, hey, I'll screw up my NFL career.
That's not physical harm. That's financial harm.
That's financial, but I guess it's pretty significant.
Yeah.
And then the third is there's a public policy component. Okay.
Okay.
And that's what you're alluding to, that, hey, this is going to damage all sports and really our entire system of sports. Now, mm-hmm. What the Sorsby lawyer argued on that point was, hey, the NCAA has crawled in bed with the gambling industry.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And it's a total hypocrisy. I mean, they have signed contracts with gambling companies.
All right.
And they can't go around saying gambling's so bad. They're in bed with them. Okay.
That's a complication, Marty. It is.
It is.
But where do you come down on that? Where do you come down on the hypocrisy part of this?
I come down on a little bit that the NCAA ought to get out of the gambling business. I do think that. I mean, I know the money drives all of this, and the money is so big that these people just can't resist it. But I think the NCAA.
You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you might not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average. Pop over to progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with discounts that are easy to come by. In fact, 99% of their auto customers earn at least one discount. Visit progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little cash back. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings will vary.
Play, if they were smart, would get out of the gambling business. What? Not, you know, I mean, I don't think that, I mean, it bothers me, honestly, when I watch College Game Day uh-huh. and they have that guy on there talking about the lines and all that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they ought to get out of that. I think they ought to get out of that.
Now, you'll get slings and arrows for that, Marty, for that take. There'll be people that don't like that take, yeah.
I think the problem, Marty, and by the way, joined by Marty Sippel, Sip's brother from Tallahassee, a lawyer, attorney of law, Marty Sippel. Now, the irreparable harm thing, I don't think anybody feels bad. I understand gambling addiction is very real. Mm-hmm. But this is somebody, Marty, that knowingly knew that this was wrong. Almost six figures in gambling, $90,000, 40-plus bets when he was at Indiana, and this continued on since then. I don't think how can anybody truly feel bad for him about losing the $5 million he's going to get at NIL, because he did this to himself. It's his fault. I struggle to sympathize himself, with
that's
him.
Right. Number one, and number two, mm-hmm. I don't know if I buy the irreparable harm argument in terms of his NFL career. I mean, plenty of guys have gotten hurt their senior year mm-hmm. and went on to play in the NFL. I mean, the fact that he might not be able to play this year mm-hmm. doesn't mean he can't go to the NFL. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he goes and performs well at the combine or whatever, I mean, he could get drafted. And so none of this passed the smell test with me, honestly. Mm-hmm. But it is, I mean, well, that's why we have courts of appeals. I mean, right. I keep saying this, you've got to watch what's going to happen in the next few days.
Okay.
Because the stay will be critical if the court of appeals stays this and he keeps him off the field.
It has other matters to address in this world, but do you think that the timing, let's see, it's June, what, 8th?
June 9th today.
Yeah. June 9th, the opener, you know, end of August, 1st of September. That seems like a large enough period for this for a court of appeals to act, right? Isn't that enough time?
It's enough time for him to act on the stay.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's why it was interesting that the NCAA appealed already yesterday afternoon. Right. And I mean, they'll probably file something today or tomorrow. Okay.
Yeah.
And then it'll be interesting to get those papers. And then the Sorsby will have a chance to respond, and then the court will do its thing within, like I say, a week or two, probably.
Were you
now the?
Go ahead.
The main appeal will take longer than that. They'll file briefs, 20 or 30 days from now. Then the other side will get 20 or 30 days, and then they'll have an oral argument. And that's why it takes so long. It'll be into the season before the main appeal gets decided. But the stay can be pretty quick.
And the stay would, to be clear, the stay, if granted, would prohibit Sorsby from playing this year.
Yes. Well, at least until the appeal's decided, yeah.
Okay.
He would be off the field until the appeal gets decided.
I just don't know. I'm not even going to frame this as a question. I'm just going to ask for your response. If Sorsby were allowed to play, can you imagine how untenable those Saturdays might be for him?
I think that I was thinking about that. I mean, I think he'll get booed, and it'll be ugly.
Derided.
Can you imagine? I mean, it'd be worse in basketball because of the proximity of the crowd to the court. But I mean, there'll be students saying ugly right. things, and it'll be bad. It'll be bad all the way around, and some teams may not play him. I mean, I think there was some talk of the Big 12 getting together and basically saying they won't play Texas Tech. Now, I don't know if that'll happen, and I don't know the legal ramifications of that either. But I think the story of this is yet to be written, honestly.
Yeah, okay. It feels weird like that Texas Tech could be the bad boys of college football. You ever thought, there's a lot of money with Cody Campbell, and they're obviously,
they're already
right now is probably Lane Kiffin and LSU saying, oh, look at Texas Tech. What a situation there. Don't look at me over here. I'm doing my own thing.
A little
He probably loves this, that Texas Tech is now the evil force in college football.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned Cody Campbell because, Cody Campbell has been front and center lobbying for this congressional bill.
Uh-huh.
And the one thing that might be the silver lining of this, I suppose, is that somebody may say, Congress may wake up and say, this is getting way out of hand. We have got to do something. We have got to strengthen the NCAA.
Right.
We have got to give them an antitrust exemption, and we have got to rein this thing because it's just out of control. It's just out of control right now.
Yeah, the answer for all these situations that arise, Felix Trinidad, the Alabama basketball players, just go to the local court, right?
Right, right. Exactly.
Why? What?
Now this,
yeah, go ahead, please.
Well, this judge, it's interesting. This judge is not a Texas Tech guy.
Oh.
He's a... He went to Houston Law School and Texas at Arlington undergrad.
Okay.
So you can't pin him being a Texas Tech guy.
Okay.
But it is troubling. It is troubling what happened here. Yeah.
I mean, he's just ruling according to how he interprets the law, right?
Yeah. I mean, apparently. I read the order. Now, it's interesting. In Florida... I'm not a Texas lawyer. In Florida,
right,
the judge is required to make specific findings as to all those three elements that I ticked off: irreparable harm, likelihood of success, and public policy.
Uh-huh.
He didn't do that on likelihood of success. He just conclusorily said, "I think he's going to win," but he didn't say why.
Okay.
I don't think that would hold up in Florida. I don't know if it would in Texas, but it wouldn't hold up in Florida.
I think what being simple asked about is the fact that this judge thinks he has the right to say how many games he's suspended for. That is completely, always has been NCAA.
Or school, enforced
conference or NCAA.
Right.
It has never probably in the history of time been assessed by a judge, which is why this is not done by any means for this injunction. But that seemed comical to me to actually have a judge place the suspension on the amount of games on something that he really has no say of that on.
That's right.
Okay. Any other matters in Florida? How's Florida State? What's the buzz about Florida State?
Oh, the buzz on Florida State is this is it. I heard somebody refer to Norvell as dead man walking.
Okay.
I mean,
he
has got to win. If he doesn't win, I'm going to say 7 or 8, he's probably gone. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a new quarterback, transfer in from Clemson.
Okay.
Will we'll see. I mean, nobody knows. It's a big question mark. And yeah, it's going to be interesting in Tallahassee for the football team.
What is your level of optimism for Nebraska's season?
I mean, I'm just like everybody else. I think they're good. I think they're going to be good. Mm-hmm. I think there's plenty of wins on that schedule, notwithstanding that everybody talks about how tough it is. Mm-hmm. But to me, the just glaring question is the defensive line. Just absolutely
hard.
Can they stop the run? Can they stop the run?
Right.
Marty's locked in.
He's God dang! I'll tell you what. Your preparation level for the Sorsby discussion is impressive. That was impressive. Did you ever get your hands on the Sorsby's filing?
No, I didn't. I tried to get my hands. It was 600 pages, and I couldn't get it downloaded. But I did get the order.
600 pages. Oh. Yeah, I wouldn't have expected you to download that without some strife in your Osley firm. But anyway, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your prediction, to be clear, is Sorsby will not play this year.
I think Sorsby does not suit up for the opening practice. That's a month and a half away.
Right.
There's plenty of time for the Court of Appeals to weigh in on this. Plenty of time.
All right.
He is Marty Sipple, the Marty Party. It was very serious today. We had to get serious with Brendan Sorsby.
I know. I don't know where Bill, without Bill to give me a hard time. Yeah. It's hard to
not giving you a hard time today, Marty.
Me and Jake are humorless.
That's not true. We're not quite as divisive at times. Marty, appreciate your time. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys.
All right. God bless you,
Marty Sipple, your brother. Attorney in Tallahassee.
Now,
Florida.
Do you feel better now?
Yeah.
When he says, okay, so now you know that the NCAA has already appealed.
Yes,
okay?
As they should have.
Right. So that's already in the works. And now, as Marty says, there's a skirmish that's going to occur. And what you're hoping, what I think America, the sporting climate of America hopes, is that there's a stay that's ordered and he will not. It'll stop the injunction from happening.
That is the hope of America, besides Texas Tech fans.
Yeah. The NCAA.
Let's get this one right.
Marty, you know, I was talking to Marty last night. He said, I think what's going to happen is the NCAA will immediately appeal this injunction. And they did. They immediately appealed. And let's just see how quickly it moves in the court system. That's the key, is how quickly it can move. And that's what you watch. I'm not concerned about it at this point. I think that I trust this system right now. So don't worry.
Well, I will keep my head up then.
There was the immediate outrage was interesting to me from the ADs.
That was proper immediate outrage because, again, we haven't seen it play out. Right now, the injunction says 2-game suspension, you can play.
The reason I didn't weigh in like a column form immediately is because I felt that it's not over. This wasn't the I intuitively knew this isn't over. There's no way this is the final word and he's going to play because the NCAA will have its say in the court of law too. So calm down.
All right. I'll calm down. We'll be back.